الحمد لله وكفى، والسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. والذين جاهدوا فينا لنهدينهم سبلنا. سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون، والسلام على المرسلين، والحمد لله رب العالمين. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. الحمد لله ثم الحمد لله. We again have the opportunity of gathering together for our daily dhikr. As I've constantly mentioned over the last few days, or repeatedly mentioned, I should say, over the past few days, these 24-hour periods seem to pass very quickly. We get together, and then in the blink of an eye, another 24 hours passes, and we get together again. And we're getting to the point where very few opportunities such as this with the blessed month of Ramadan actually remain. We have just a handful of days left. So the purpose of this gathering was to be able to spend some time in the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And as I've mentioned before, and I'll repeat again today, the gathering is designed to be broken up into three components. The first component is our going through a series of lines of dhikr that we recite silently. They alternate between some ayah, part of an ayah of a Quran, or something from hadith. On rare occasion, there may be something from our akabirin, but for the most part, these are the two types of adhkar that are found. And then interspersed with that are sending blessings and salutations upon the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam through making salawat. And we've been doing this gathering for decades. I think we're coming to close to 20 years if we haven't passed the 20-year mark. And it's usually held every week in the summer months, meaning at the time when daylight savings time is in. We usually hold a gathering on Fridays. And in the winter months, fall and winter, we usually hold the gatherings on Sundays. Regardless, the gathering has been going on for a long period of time, and there's a few components to it. One, I usually give a short talk. Number two, we recite the lines of dhikr silently. And then number three, we move on to a silent dhikr in the heart, which is called muraqabah, where a person just remembers the name of Allah in their heart. And then number four, we conclude the gathering with dua. So the talks that I've been giving over the last few days have all been based upon the adhkar. And so I think we got as far as here. And we'll talk about this this adhkar today. This is one of the lines of our gathering. And in this we see that we are going to state, Rabbi, my Lord, la tadharni farda, do not leave me solitary or single or alone. وَأَنْتَ خَيْرُ الْوَارِثِينَ, and you are the best of inheritors. So a few points to note concerning this statement. The first is that this is actually a statement from the Qur'an. It is a quote from the Prophet Zakariya, alayhi salam, in which he made this statement at a time that he was making dua for a child. So he happened to be childless, and he had a desire to have a child, and the purpose of having that child was one, to have a child, and two, to have someone that would be an inheritor who could carry his inheritance. And of course, the inheritance of the prophets is going to be knowledge. So he desired to have a child who would be able to carry deen, which is obviously a very good intention. So he makes the following statement, Rabbi, my Lord. Now, interestingly, the word Rabb means the one who sustains and brings something to perfection. And so, you know, it has this notion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's characteristic of creating, but not only creating, but also causing something to grow to reach its final state. And so when this du'a is made, you know, it has this notion of this of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala being the one who can bring something and can nurture something and allow it to be able to develop. So Rabbi la tadharni farda. Oh my Lord, do not leave me independent. Do not leave me childless. Do not leave me alone. Do not leave me solitary. So again, the context of this statement is that the Prophet Zakariya alayhi salam does not have a child and wants to have a child so that the child can be his companion. And the child will be his companion in multiple ways, but in particular will assist him in deen and also will be able to inherit the knowledge of deen and will be able to carry that on to the next generation. So this is a very good intention. And then, along with this du'a, he also relegates the matter to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by highlighting that وَأَنْتَ خَيْرُ الْوَارِثِينَ, even though you are the best of inheritors, meaning, but you are the best of inheritors. So it's interesting, he's looking for someone to inherit from him, but he also remembers that that du'a needs to be made in the context of a greater idea, which is that Allah is the best of inheritors. So, yes, you can have a child, but if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not going to allow that child to inherit the goodness that's present in a family or in an individual, then there's no benefit there. It still requires that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant the ability for that child to become an inheritor, and it still requires that we relegate the matter to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by remembering that even if there is no child, at least Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will act as an inheritor and will allow his message to perpetuate to the subsequent generations, for example. So this is just recited for a few reasons. Number one, it allows us to be able to call on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by remembering that our children are our inheritors and that they provide us with company. So we as human beings, we require company. And our children, they act as company for us. And in this particular instance, not only do they act as company, but they also act as inheritors who can carry on our legacy. And the legacy here, of course, is the legacy of the prophets, but in our case would be the legacy that we have, whether that's a family business or whether that's the goodness that we want to share in this world, or whether that's our opportunity to carry reward beyond ourselves. So that's the first understanding that we gain here. And in that context, we also remember that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the best of inheritors. Okay, so what are the points that we want to take home? Number one, it's when we make this dua, we should be thinking about the fact that if we don't have children, that we hope that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will eventually give us children who will be our inheritors. Number one. Number two, if we don't have children, we hope that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will grant us children who can act as company. Because when we have children, they tend to take up our time, and that's a good thing. Because when they take up our time, it protects us from having to place our time elsewhere. So it's always a blessing and a benefit to have children because of the fact that they take up time. And again, it's a good thing that they take up time. And then the next point is that regardless of what I want, regardless of what I might want, I still need to remember that, Ya Allah, you are the best of inheritors. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants my legacy to live or continue, whether that's through my knowledge or through my family business or through the goodness that I want to distribute to the planet, throughout the planet, then I should always remember that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the best of inheritors. However he decides for the issue to be inherited and spread, then if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decides it and accepts it and puts barakah in it, then it will be something that will be perpetuated. So these are the types of thoughts that we should have in our mind. It's also something that can bring a lot of peace to a person who may not necessarily have a child, because even if they don't have a child, they should always remember that Allah is the best of inheritors. And so they should focus on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, be content with his decree, and recognize that if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants a person's legacy to continue, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can inherit that legacy and allow it to perpetuate through whatever means he deems to be best. Just as an example, you see that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not necessarily have a male child. He had daughters, but he didn't have a male child that carried that, quote unquote, carried that legacy. In the sense that at the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we see that the Prophet's message predominantly to the world was carried by the companions. And in particular, although much of the message was carried by the female companions, particularly of the actions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam within the home and within the realm of family, the spreading of Islam to other countries and through other continents, which was predominantly occurring through it predominantly occurred through the males that were present at that time. And interestingly, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not have a son that acted as an inheritor in that way. Yes, he had daughters who acted as inheritors in a very beautiful way, but he didn't necessarily have sons who were acting as inheritors in that way. But still, look at the legacy of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He had daughters, which again allowed a certain degree of inheritance, but he didn't necessarily have sons. So you could say that, you know, he didn't have the full contingent. You know, he had the daughters, but didn't have the sons. Yet you see that the message of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is spread through every corner of humanity, because all of the companions who were present were able to carry that message forward. So this is just one of the great blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that He is the best of inheritors. So these are the types of thoughts that we should have in our mind as we're reciting this dhikr, and these are the types of things that we should be thinking about. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put barakah in these types of statements and allow us to be able to understand the true reality that underlies them.